The passage of Scripture that we have read today is a continuation of Jesus as he begins his earthly ministry among us. You remember the reading last week where Christ went into the temple and there was the man possessed of the unclean spirit, and Jesus told him to hold his peace and come out of him. And here was a man that was in a place of worship, and it gives you good indication that the devil goes to church, maybe. There's a book that was in my library from some time. I haven't seen it lately, so I must have let somebody borrow it or give it away or sold it in a yard sale or something, called The Devil and Mrs. Church. And the reality, I think, is that for whether men or women, that as we can reflect on our own personal journeys, that we can think, how many times have we come to church with the proper attitude? Or have we been around individuals that have been so negative in their conversation that they have affected how we felt in worship? And so Christ leaves that environment and he arrives at the house of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I think many times about Simon Peter being the first Catholic Pope, and if that was his mother-in-law, then obviously he was married, right? Some of you didn't quite catch that, but... But anyway, as I think about him coming to her house, I think about what illness meant in just a few years ago. I remember being in Dr. Morris's class at Emory, and we were talking about the decline of the church. And the reality is that as medicine has improved and in other events in our society, that's when church attendance began to decline. For you see, it hasn't been too many years ago that if you were, say, on the frontier of America and you had a headache was life-threatening. Needless to say, here in this passage of Scripture where Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, and that was a good indication that she was really very, very sick, probably going to die. And so we see another indication of where Christ is coming into our world, and he has overtaken the satanic influence in last week's reading. And in this week's reading, we have a foreshadowing of Jesus overcoming death. This morning, as we prepare to come to this altar and to receive communion, we too can think about those areas of our life where we need Christ's touch. And it might not just be for us, but it might be that we would come to this altar and think of others. Of others who needs a touch of God's grace. Today, has already been mentioned, is Super Bowl Sunday. And this evening, somewhere probably around 9 o'clock or so, there are going to be some people that are probably going to be out in the street hooping and hollering and screaming because their team won. It's even possible that the police will be needed to restore order. Now, I can't help but to think about how people that are spectators get so excited about those who are really in the game, because I suspect those really in the game and play will be somewhere maybe with their friends and families relaxing after a hot shower and thinking about the game, whether they won or lost in the events that took place during the day. Last Sunday, while we were singing, I think it was Victory in Jesus, that a group of people got up and began to march around the area where we were singing. It brought back some memories to me. Some memories as a young boy being in the old tent revivals and the old sawdust trails. And people experiencing what is called a victory march. Most of these folks were not individuals that had a lot of earth resources. But they were making an effort, however ridiculous it might have been, to proclaim their trust and their dependence upon Christ. I have read about some of the emotional experiences that took place in some of the old Brush Arbor meetings of the old Methodist services of years ago. And some of the actions I won't even get into, because you will wonder what in the world caused people to act in such a way. But I think about those and how they will be acting tonight. Not totally rational. I think about those who in the 60s did a march, and they call them by different names. The March on Selma. Freedom marches. World War II, I remember the troops coming back, and or reading about the troops coming back, and the parades, and the marching soldiers. As I think about these things, I think about my Christian journey and my faith. And Christ comes into this environment where death was imminent, and he speaks life. As we think about Main Street United Methodist Church, as we think about what we would wish for our church, I invite you today to make, as it were, a march of faith as you come down to receive these elements and to proclaim God's healing, to proclaim God's love, to proclaim Christ's victory over all the wickedness and evil in our world, and even over those less than godly attitudes within our own church. That Christ would heal us. That before we can reach out to the world and to others, we must first have Christ abiding within us. That this is a place where the love of God abounds. There are churches that are known by a lot of different names. On my way back from Texas, I noticed the Church of the Cowboys. Well, I knew what that stood for. I remember hearing on the radio station when I was in Atlanta, a preacher who was preaching, and the name of his church was the Church of Atlanta. Well, I know where that's located. Another minister called his church the Church of What's Happening Now. Well, I don't quite know what all that means. The Church of Harley Bicycle Riders. Now, I know what their interest is. There's churches of all different names. What would be the name that we would proclaim if it wasn't Main Street United Methodist? What would we refer to ourselves as? Hopefully, we are the Church of Jesus Christ. The church that proclaims victory in His name. The church where everybody is somebody. The church where people feel love. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, it starts with you and me. That God will use us here and now in this place to touch those who are sick and suffering for the glory of His name. Let us have a victory march this day, proclaiming that Christ indeed is King.